Living and Dying with Honor Bible Study Lesson Number 49, August the 3rd, 2009. We're dealing with God's divine issued ordinance to help you and I handle the details and circumstances of life and pass the test of every problem that we will face in life. God the Father has given us the weapons necessary to pass the test. There is no problem so great that you cannot pass that test. You say, but you don't understand, I've got cancer, I've got 2 weeks to live. Great. And you can look forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, living and dying with honor. You can handle your suffering for the glory of God, and you can truly say what Paul said that he desired to do in Philippians chapter 3 when he said that I may know him. That's to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his, Christ's resurrection. The power, Paul wanted to experience in his own life some of the power that raised Christ from the dead. Think of the power it takes to raise someone from the dead. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, entering into the fellowship of his sufferings. We're going to be dealing with the issue of power and dealing with the problem-solving devices that God has given us, the divine ornaments that we have. You must understand. You must understand that the quality of every weapon that we have, every problem-solving device that we are given, the quality of it is perfect. We have the highest quality. Every believer has the same high quality. The difference is some problem-solving devices, as we're going to start looking at now in more detail, for the power concept, dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, means power. We're going to see that there's greater calibers of power in some than in others. And the more doctrine you learn, the more ammunition you have to use your problem-solving devices. We're going to explain that to you. We're going to use military terms to help you to understand what God has provided for you, because you're in the spiritual warfare at Angelic Conley. Many years ago, one of the finest pastor teachers I know told me that in the area of the country he was at, military nomenclature and military vocabulary didn't go over very well. I said, well, that's too bad. We're in spiritual warfare at Angelic Conflict. People need to wake up. These farmers and these ranchers need to get some military language. Realize there's more to life than planting cotton or corn or wheat or soybeans or milking cows or whatever it may be. Like there's more to life than going to work at your job, coming home, turning on the boob tube and sitting down watching sports. I love sports. I love football, baseball, basketball. Ice hockey, auto racing. Used to be very heavily into boxing, not anymore. Good quality wrestling. And I've seen some outstanding wrestling in high school and colleges. Track and field. A broad range of things that interest me that way. I used to love to fish, but I don't get to fish anymore. I don't hunt anymore. Nothing wrong with what I'm saying. God has given us many blessings, but we need to make sure our priorities are always in line. General doesn't go fishing when the enemy is on the march headed straight for his troops. We need to wake up the spiritual warfare and angelic conflict. Let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're feeling the filling of the spirit of absolute objectivity, the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but will accomplish all you design it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of the Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. God, the Holy Spirit, is the Father's ordinance corps. The ordinance corps, of course, we remind you, is a technical service charged with the design, construction, testing, and supply of ordnance materials. The ordnance corps provides guns, ammunition, missiles, armored and track-laying vehicles, and apparatus for sighting and firing guns. It maintains arsenals and depots for design, manufacture, testing, storage, and issue of such material. It also maintains an extensive research department. The ordnance depot, which contains reserve stocks of arms, ammunition, equipment, is furnished by the ordnance corps. Your soul should be an ordnance depot that you can draw from. You should have it in your soul. Bible doctrine resident in your soul that you can utilize at all times in spiritual warfare at angelic conflict. We remind you that ordnance is military weapons, ammunition, explosive, combat vehicles, and battle materials collected together with necessary maintenance tools and equipment. Now, I want you to think about something. There are major weapons, high caliber, and there are smaller caliber weapons, everything for its proper usage in its proper place. Confession of sin opens the door to everything else. It solves the problem of personal sin. Confession of personal sin is a high caliber weapon. In case you're not totally familiar what the term caliber means, from the dictionary, military dictionary of weapons and military terms, which I've used many times over the years, I'll give you the caliber, a term that derives from the Latin qua libra, Q-U-A-L-I-B-R-A, in case you're a note taper and can't spell Latin, meaning what pound, first applied to the weight of the bullet and then to the diameter. Cannons are still sometimes designated by the weight of the projectile they throw, such as the 25-pounder. The term now refers to the diameter of the projectile or the diameter of the bore of the gun or the launching tube. Caliber is usually expressed in millimeters or inches. For example, a 105-millimeter howitzer and a 6-inch gun have calibers of 105 millimeters and 6 inches, respectively. The term caliber is also used to indicate the length of a gun's bore, or the length of the tube measured from the breech face of the tube to the muzzle. For example, a 6-inch 50 caliber gun is 25 feet in length. 56-inch calibers equals 300 inches or 25 feet. Now, when you confess your sin, that's a big time weapon. And that opens the door for something interesting. Some more of my study on this subject, I'm beginning to see things a little bit more advanced than I had before. For example, the confession of sin immediately gives you the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is what we could call an old-time organ gun, O-R-G-A-N, the organ gun. The organ gun was a piece of ordnance with numerous gun barrels arranged side by side and capable of being fired simultaneously. In the 14th to the 17th century, as many as 160 barrels were sometimes so arranged. Now, the moment you confess your sin, you are filled with the Spirit. The moment you are filled with the Spirit, you're issued an organ gun that has the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. You got 9 major barrels. But underneath the love barrels, the love barrel of the weapon, you've got the barrels for the different categories of love. Love toward the triune Godhead. Love toward each member of the Godhead personally, Father, Son, and Spirit. The more doctrine you have, understand the triune God himself, the more you can love God in totality. The more you understand Christology, the more you can learn Christ. You must understand Christology to understand pneumatology, because the Spirit came to make Christ clear to us. And Christ came to make the Father clear to us. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When Christ said the Spirit was going to come, he said in John 16, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me. The Spirit came to glorify Christ. He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Fantastic concept. Now, the filling of the Spirit, as we've seen, handles a lot of problems. It gives you the nine fruit of the Spirit. It allows you to become teachable. It allows you to become teachable, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We put that back with verse 9, but it is written, I have not seen, ear not heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul divides men into three classes: the psychikos man, P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S, the man of the senses, James 3:15. Wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Jude 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Then you have the pneumatikos, the spiritual man. Pneumatikos, by the way, in the Greek is P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Psychikos, in case you couldn't spell it, is P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. The psychikos man, then, is the natural man, the Adamic man, unrenewed through the new spirit, through the new birth from above. That's come out in John 3, 3 and 5. The pneumatikos man is the spiritual man, the renewed man, spirit-filled, walking in the Spirit and full of communion. Ephesians 5:18-20 deals with this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being under the filling of the Spirit produces immediate happiness in the soul. Joy in the soul is there for you and for me. We can rejoice in the Lord. Now, there's also the sarkikos man, S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S. This is the carnal, the fleshly. He's renewed man, he is walking after the flesh, remaining a babe in Christ, described in 1 Corinthians 3, 1-14. We won't read the 1-4, I'm sorry, we will read the passage too. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, and hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and diversities, and you are not carnal, and walk as men. For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? The divisions among men. The natural man may be learned, gentle, eloquent, fascinating, but the spiritual content of Scripture is absolutely hidden from him, and the fleshly or carnal Christian is able to comprehend only the simplest truths called milk in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is laid out there in your organ gun for operations. And we saw the problems that these solve. Spiritual ignorance has to be solved through Bible study, though. Spiritual ignorance has to be solved through Bible study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, for rightly dividing the word of truth. All scriptures God breathed and given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times but the will of man. The holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's 19:21. Now Christ promised them that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and in John chapter 14 he says, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit will bring these things into remembrance. First you learn them. First he teaches them to you, then he helps you to recall them. These are all part of the ordinance of the Spirit. The Spirit's organ gun includes teachability. The Spirit's organ gun includes motivational virtue, love for God. Functional virtue, love and all the other categories of it. The Holy Spirit provides you with power. Now, as we come down the line and live the life before God, we have to pass the test of life. Personal tests, trials, and suffering. We get them in my family. You get them in your family. They're there. They're not easy to deal with always. Linda, when she took the fall a week ago, tomorrow, or 2 weeks ago tomorrow now, she was concerned about the massive bruises on her legs from her knees all the way up, inside of them, the way she fell and hit. It wasn't until a week later that she tried to make a bed and discovered that she probably had what I figured out were cracked or broken ribs. The pain's getting pretty strong. She's got a high pain tolerance, but she's had to take some medication for them. They've gotten worse in the last week. Went to a doctor, went to her primary care doctor. He wouldn't even bother to take the x-ray so she could see how many of them were broken, because waste of money, he says, and expose you to undue radiation you don't need to be exposed to. Because there's nothing we can do about them anyway. Go home, lady, and live with it. Gave her another lecture on her side, more or less, to wait. You know, people can be cold, hard, cruel, and legalistic in a concept down there. My wife has weight problems, but they don't understand it. We're not rich. She has to go to work every day to have her medical benefits. Sits at a desk. Talked about some of her problem with her leg comes from sitting at a desk all day. You know, here's a guy walking around making big bucks because we see what the insurance company pays him for us and what the people who don't have the insurance pay him on the billing. He's seen her enough for enough things. These guys go get in their Mercedes or their BMWs or whatever and go over to their big fancy houses, and they think about the people out there on the street. They have no concept. One thing God is allowing us to do is to relate to people on the streets and what they're doing and not lose sight of it. I know a lot of pastors who have become very cold and uncompassionate. They've lost their compassion for other people, for the sufferings of other people, because they're paid good money by churches. And since they don't have to teach very much anymore, because there's not enough positive volition anyway, and they can play their little games, and he goes to teach. Man, they've lost sight of the reality of what's going on out there. God's allowing us to see the problems of people that are real. And to deal with them. And deal with their own problems. Pain and suffering is there, but God has an answer. The pain, the suffering. We have to learn to deal with life. Personal tests, trials, and suffering. We deal with them through the living the faith rest life. The beginning of the faith rest life, we point out to you, is the concept of recognizing that we can't cut it. We can't solve our own problems through human viewpoint. God will bring believers down to the point that they must truly depend upon Him, because there's no other answer. Curses he that trusteth in man. I told London this morning, when she walked into the office and the lady that gives her the examination to her for her physical every year had not been sharp enough to look up and see her drooping eye, her quivering lip, and said, "I think you've had a mini stroke." They would have never found that tumor till the eye was destroyed. God allowed this woman to be alert and do it. And the woman ordered an EKG that led to the MRIs, that led to the extensive surgery and all the things you know about. I told her today, I said, "I wonder if your primary care doctor would have paid any attention to your eye and your lip, because you weren't relating to it. Or if he would have bothered to order an EKG that would lead to everything." The funny thing is, we shifted him a number of years ago from another doctor in the same office, because the other doctor became cold and unconcerned and did not listen to what he was being told for some symptoms of some things, and he proved it to us by the follow-up treatment that he did. So we dropped him and she picked up a different one in the office group that she's limited to there, for easy accessibility and all the rest. But God's in control of history, and we have to take the tests that come our way. We can, not only is the reason I say the confession of sin is a powerful weapon, is because confession of sin not only puts us into the filling of the Spirit and all the fruits of the Spirit that comes out of there, but confession of sin is the first step in living the faith rest life. After we commit ourselves to the fact we can't do it through human viewpoint, curses he that trusteth in man. There are a group of Iranians living on the border of Iraq, just inside of Iraq in a refugee camp. I trusted the United States government to take care of them and protect them from both the Iraqis and the Iranians. Last week, the Iraqis shot up the camp. Yesterday, we were talking to a missionary from Nigeria, now moving to Uganda, with SIM, which used to be known as Sudan and Dairy Missions. He worked with a lady we knew many years ago from Seattle, who I thought was with the Lord now, but found out she's still alive, and her old age down around Des Moines, Washington, south of Seattle, Betty Warnicky, at one time in Ethiopia many, many years ago. And in Nigeria. But I was talking to him, and he wasn't have time for me to ask him any questions about Nigeria. had I read the morning paper before I talked to him, I would ask him a question, though, because I got home and yesterday was kind of a chaotic day with the stress, the heat and things that we've had there. We broke another daily record, but it was only about 94 at my place. I think 91 or 92 was the official down south of us. But a couple of people saw 94. It was within a couple of miles of us on the mount of one of these outside temperature things in front of a store. And I was doing things I had to get done with it, but as I finally got around to reading the paper about 8 o'clock last night, the headline section of paper, I found out where they were. A bloody battle being fought between police and Muslim radicals in the Islamic section of Nigeria. Just a couple of days ago. There's a violence and warfare is all over. The Iraqis went in there and shot up the Iranian camp. While they claimed they were just simply trying to establish police and law and order for a presence in there for their new government. Nigeria, battle going on. Blood battles are being fought all over the world. Same paper carried an article questioning what's going to happen because Red China is not going to work with the United States at this time to figure out a solution to the problem of North Korea if the North Korean government collapses and implodes. Because they do not want South Korea to swallow up North Korea and have a strong, what the paper called, democratic government. It's interesting, everybody wants a democracy. The United States of America was established not as a democracy, but as a republic. That's neither here nor there. Chaos is all around us. Suffering is all around us. It becomes relative to what we had. We're not living in refugee camps. Half starving to death, lives threatened on an almost daily basis as people are. But God is allowing the wrath of man to work itself out for his ultimate praise and glory, and he's restraining that which will not do that. But what happens is when we realize that the world is full of pressures and problems, we have to abandon human viewpoint. We have to realize Kuwait says that the United States and the UN has got to help them because Iraq now is reneging on the however many billion, 22, 25 billion, whatever it was that they owe Kuwait that was ruled by the UN for the war crimes committed by the invasion by Saddam Hussein of Kuwait. Now, started the first Iraqi war. Once we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, once we commit ourselves to God's system, and we say, hey, human viewpoint's not going to cut it, and we certainly don't want satanic viewpoint, and we better get with God's system, and we make a positive volitional decision to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God and his answers, his solutions. Seek God and the solutions that he has for our problems. Let you ask God to deal with our problems. Matthew 6:32. And 33, and which deals with, as we've seen many times, with very simple problems. Now we're going to go back into faith rest a little deeper today because this is another one of those weapons that explodes out. And the many weapons. This is the, not only that, this is the fortress that we have to enter into so that we do not hit the fear, panic, ploy button and run from every instance. Now, you're going to get some things you haven't had today on this. Matthew 6:32 says, or 31, we should start with, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Now you have to decide that you're going to seek God's solutions. Curses he that trusts in man, Jeremiah says. You're not going to go with man. You also have to make sure you're going to go with God and not with the false gods of this world. Now there are a lot of so-called gods running around. You've got to understand that. Joshua understood it in Joshua 24, 14 and 15. When he said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and then Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Notice the gods, demons, and evil spirits. I want you to think about this. Because the tape was running longer than it was supposed to before I turned it over and I missed it, I want to reread this passage. We first must commit ourselves to seek God and his solutions. This means we must choose God over man. Cursed he that trusteth in man. We must also trust God over the false gods of this world. Joshua understood that there are pseudo-gods out there and that man will look to those pseudo-gods. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil of you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell on. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Faith rest life. It's a powerful weapon to follow. We call it the faith rest drill to get into the faith rest life. The faith rest drill, the military drill that you exercise to get into the faith rest life, begins with the fact that you've got to reject the gods of this world. Let me tell you something. Many, many Christians I know have accepted one of the gods of this world, and that God is Uncle Sam. That God is the United States government is going to bail us out for everything. We want our checks to come flowing in here. We want the government to give us everything. Many of the American people, many Christians are saying this, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, Uncle Sam." Who's going to pay the bill for it? They think they're entitled to universal health care. Much of the world, people don't even see a doctor ever, but they think they're entitled to it all the time. The technical term for military drill is very simple. Exercise for instructing troops consisting of the manual of arms, marching, and other repetition exercises for discipline or training. The faith rest drill is a drill that you do over and over and over and over and over again. What I'm giving you here is the manual of instruction in the military drill of the faith rest drill. I've got a manual here, a field manual we call it, that tells you how to function in the faith rest drill. And you've got to learn how to do it. Over and over again, you've got to use the faith rest drill, because over and over again, you're going to be hit with problems and you've got to turn to God. So operation one, choose you this day whom you will serve. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first in your life, not man, but God. God first, and where you're coming from and what you're doing. Secondly, confession of sin. Confession of sin. All right, now you say, "But you've already given us confession of sin." Is a separate problem. There are sins of omission and sins of commission. You may need to confess to God that even though you've confessed the sins that you've done, you've got a sin of omission in which you have not turned to God to solve your problem. When Linda was in the hospital with the brain surgery, I clearly was taught the principle of fact that there comes a time when you have to turn to God completely in totality, because there is no human solutions to the problem. You have to depend upon God to open the doors, and I'm totally convinced God raised Linda up and answered a prayer. I was told she might never leave there except as a vegetable. Told that. I didn't believe it. Told the nurse I didn't believe it. Told the social worker that came down and gave me a list of rehab centers to take Linda to. She didn't go to a rehab center. She came home. Her physical therapist came here and worked with her. And go to a rehab center. She's not a Garrett trooper. She's a trooper. Garrett trooper sits around, fights their battles in the barracks and the bars. She's a combat trooper. Embarrassing when she hears this on study tape, probably, but that's the reality of life. Not trying to make her arrogant to puff my wife up, but you know why? Because she realizes only God can take her through, and I realize only God can take her through. Man can't do it. When we watched her retirement money that she'd worked so hard for, which wasn't very much, disappear, thousands upon, just like a lot of you, thousands upon thousands of dollars, just like that. But you know, that was no difference in a man that's got everything invested in the business, and the business catches on fire and burns to the ground, or something else happens. Tests of life are not new. When I walk through the streets of Seattle and see people sleeping in doorways, including the other day when I saw a woman probably close to at least 75 years old dragging everything she had down the street in a shop, in an old shopping cart, and realized she was a part of the street people of Seattle. People of all ages are there for all kinds of reasons. The missions are overcrowded across America. Go back and read the writings of Charles Dickens in 19th century England, and what do you find out when you read Oliver Twist and some of these other books? You see some of the same exact things going on. When you read A Tale of Two Cities by Dickens and you see what was going on in France leading up to and creating the French Revolution, all the evil that came out of the French Revolution when evil fought evil. Confession of sin is a powerful weapon. Once you confess your sin, then you go into, as you know from Operation Seek God, to Operation Confession of Sin, also called Operation Rebound, to Operation Humility. Operation Humility. 1 Peter 5, 6 opens the door of that. We've given you that before. We've given it to you a lot, but we're expanding on this. I want you to listen. You've got to commit to God. You've got to not depend upon government. You cannot say, where is my stimulus check at? You cannot say, we've got to have government. Full medical care. I stood in a church about 6 months ago talking to a man he's a friend of mine. I assume his wife would. She's a friend of Linda, she said. Never had a social life with these people. I've had a lot of conversations with this man at church over the years. That's about it. But there. He looked me in the face. He said, I think that everybody should be required by law and forced to buy medical insurance. Well, that's what they're fixing to do. They're fixing to pass a law and make everybody buy medical insurance. You may not be able to buy food, but you'll have medical insurance, so they'll be able to fine you and punish you for it. How blind we are to the realities of life. People are starving to death in America, and they're being told they need medical insurance. Well, sure, everybody should have medical insurance if you can afford it. And you can get it. Some people can't get it. Well, under the new law, everybody's going to be able to get it. But where are you going to get it from? You study what they've done with Canadian medical insurance and socialism up there. What did we read out of a McIlvaney report in the class not long ago from Pravda? Literally, what Pravda was saying was communism was alive and well in the USA. But there's all kind of things. But Uncle Sam is not our God. We're patriotic. We love America, but we don't look to him. Social Security started out as a supplement to help the poor, according to Roosevelt, when he introduced the program and pushed it through. Today, Social Security has become a demanding crutch of rights and things. It is a big, overgrown bankrupt because there's not one penny ever been put aside for it. Every year it's added to the budget what they figure they need. Unfunded debt. We have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. From there, as you know, we go into Operation Mental Stability. Operation Mental Stability. Mental stability is to claim a promise from God. And the promise we claim from God is casting all your care upon him, for we he careth for you. We assign our problems to the Supreme Court of Heaven. We supply our problems to the Supreme Court of Heaven. We take them to our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to turn them over to the Father for us. That takes us into the fifth step, which is Operation Cogitation. Operation Cogitation, Philippians 4:8. We start thinking doctrine. We start meditating upon the things of the Lord. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Operation Cogitation. I'm sorry, Operation Concentration. Operation Concentration. I'm getting ahead of myself. I got distracted by a massive motorcycle outside. Operation Cogitation, which we call reverse concentration. My apology. If you want a perfect pastor, I'm not in. Operation Cogitation, when we think on doctrine by reverse concentration. You see, first you learn the doctrine. Then you reverse your thinking from learning the doctrine to concentrating on it for the purpose of applying it. Operation Cogitation, we meditate upon the Word of God. We meditate upon doctrine. We think, what scriptural passages, what doctrinal concepts do we have to solve this problem? Psalm 1:2 says, 1:1-2 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that law doth he meditate day and night. We meditate upon the Word of God. We meditate upon Bible doctrine. The more we meditate upon it, the more we saturate it into our souls to look for opportunities to use it, the more we can use it, the greater it is. We have to learn to meditate upon the things of God. 1 Timothy 4:5. I gave you the wrong verse. 4:15 is what I want. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditating upon things so it becomes profitable. In Timothy's case, meditate upon the use of his spiritual gift. All right, this takes us into... You know, I skipped one. I'm sorry. Number one is seek God and his solutions. Number two is confession of sin. Number three is operation humility. Operation seeking God, operation confession of sin, operation humility. Four is operation mental stability. Five is operation cogitation. Six is operation wisdom. Operation Wisdom, pray for wisdom. Operation Salsa, we call it Operation Divine Support, praying for wisdom. If a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James 1:5, we turn to God and pray to God. Seven is Operation Decision Making. Operation Decision Making, we have to learn to make a decision. We have to come to a doctrinal conclusion. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All right, when we go through Operation Decision Making, we go into Operation Grace perspective. You have to think in grace. Grace perspective. Operation Grace Perspective is number 8. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Seeing that you have a great high priest that has passed the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thinking in grace. Then we move to operation, application of Bible doctrine. Operation, application of Bible doctrine. So you've got perception of application of doctrine now when you're studying, and we come to application of Bible doctrine. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, 9. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Apply doctrine, do it. The 10th stage of it is operation patience. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10. You may be bored. You may think you've heard this too many times, but I'm gonna slam you between the teeth with the Word of God in a minute if you've got that attitude. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. In Romans 5, 3 and 4. Romans 5, 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And patience experience, and experience hope. Being patient, waiting on the Lord, which comes back to the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, being able to suffer and relate to what it is. Now, you may think, why do you keep repeating some of this stuff so often to us? Well, it's very simple. We're under the trial of our faith. 1 Peter 5, 1, 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's doing his part. Wherefore ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Now the testing so great, manifold temptations before you, what that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found on the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, which having not seen, ye love. In whom though ye now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is not salvation from eternal damnation. This is the deliverance of our soul victoriously, that we may be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Putting you in remembrance. 2 Peter 3:1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance. Remembrance, remembrance. We need to review the doctrines to keep you squared away in it. All right, the 11th stage is Operation Deliverance. Operation Deliverance, 2 Timothy 4:17. To 19. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, for whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Father has Christ personally deliver us. The Lord stood by me. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he saith, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Verse 8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ in his resurrected, glorified body, victorious over death. All right, 12th stage is Operation Thanksgiving. Is that right? Have I got them all down? Seeking God, 1. Confession of sin, 2. Humility, 3. Mental stability, 4. Cogitation, 5. Wisdom, 6. Decision making, 7. Reaching a doctrinal conclusion, 8. The operation grace perspective, thinking in grace, 9. Operation application of Bible doctrine, we have to apply the doctrine, 10. Operation patience, 11. Operation deliverance, 12. Operation thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Along with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, another one of those old familiar passages that you've heard over and over and over and over and over and over again. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last of all, 13, is Operation Rest in the Father. Rest in the Father. Rest in the Father. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash their foot against thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now this is a Messianic Psalms, which centered upon Christ, but you and I, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Christ is the answer. We're encapsulated in Christ. We've taught you that. Ephesians 2:6 shows us just how clearly we're positionally encapsulated in Christ. Has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, when we rest in the Father, resting in the Father's love. That's what it really is. We're resting in the Father's love. We love Him because He first loved us. We understand the Father has built a fortress around us. We cannot be conquered and defeated. We're inside the fortress of Christ and the Father's fortress. We're behind it. We need to claim these promises. We need to deal with what they are. Nahum makes it so clear. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in Him. My apology if the crows outside are getting on the tape. We've changed the ecology around America. Birds that used to fly south in the winter come north in the summer, never fly south, north, winter or summer. They feed out of the garbage cans around here and things like that, and much things have been changed. So there are noise levels that get in the background. I've also added a 14th point now. Once we're resting in the Lord, we're in the faith rest drill. There's nothing else to go. You say, what do you mean? I've entered into the rest. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. That's true. We've entered into it. Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. I'm sorry, Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. Says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter in to his works. Now enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We've entered into the faith rest life. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11 there. You say, what else can there can be? When we rest in the Father, we then trust God for the future. This automatically comes out of it. While we're resting in the Father, we must trust God for the future. The day you stop trusting God for the future, you pick your problems up and take them back on yourself. You walk out of the faith rest and you got to start all over again. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are yet not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. The battle is the Lord. The battle does not belong to you. The battle belongs to God. 1 Samuel 17:47. Now when we finish this, we're through with faith rest for a while, don't worry. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. When we're faith resting in the Lord, we trust God the Father for our future. The Father becomes our future. The more paedrology I understand, the more doctrines of the Father, the more I begin to see some of these wonderful, wonderful truths and how they line up in down there. So we get a problem-solving device that's unique in that. But do you understand what you've got? You've got an organ gun in the filling of the Spirit, producing the different cannons which come out of it that we fire, that we teach you separate problem solving devices: love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, self discipline. Against such there is no law. Alright, the faith rest drill is an organ gun. We enter into it by making God number one in our life. Operation seek God, not false gods. In Operation Rebound, we confess our sins. To Operation Mental Stability, we claim promises. To Operation Cogitation, reverse concentration and think doctrine. To Operation Divine Support, we pray for wisdom. operation decision making. We reach a doctrinal conclusion to operation grace perspective. We think in grace, to operation application to Bible doctrine. We apply this divine problem solving device to this problem. We use the orders that God has given us for that. To operation patience, we wait on the Lord. Be still and know that I am God, he says. To operation deliverance, we let Jesus Christ walk beside us and deliver us. To operation thanksgiving, we thank him for deliverance. To operation resting in the Father's love, we settle down and enjoy the benefits of being protected by the Father. And this brings us to operation trust God the Father for the future, because he knows the future. His eye is on the sparrows, the song says he cares for us. We move on to the next class, to brand new problem-solving device. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. Your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise. It will not return void, but accomplish what you designed it for, sanctified and blessed. We ask in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.